Welcome back to episode number 9 of the Psyche Behind the Physique. I'm your host, Maddie Michelson, and today we are discussing a topic that is so near and dear to my heart, and that topic is anxiety. For years, I leveraged my anxiety unknowingly as my kryptonite, something that at any moment would stop me in my tracks. I feared my anxiety and certainly the leverage that I perceived it to have over me. When I stepped on stage and ventured to tell my friends about my new plans or fitness program or even my new goal to stay sober at a social outing, it was the thing that brought me down. Finally, when I realized that the anxiety was never going to go away, I realized that I needed to learn how I could perceive anxiety as both protective and a powerful self-help tool, and not just perceive it as such, but truly believe it to be. Previously, y'all, I hated my anxiety. I labeled myself as being an anxious person instead of having anxiety, very different things. And so it ruled me. I certainly didn't want to feel this way. I sought out every, and I mean every tool and medication to numb the feelings I had. And I most definitely didn't always believe it to be a powerful self-help tool. But if we can begin to see anxiety as part of the fight or flight stress response, we can actually begin to see it as an evolutionary tool for productivity. So in this episode today, we're going to explore how anxiety can be our superpower and how you can leverage anxiety for your benefit. So starting out, I know you're already thinking, Maddie, you're probably crazy thinking or believing that your anxiety is your superpower. And you're naive to think that by the end of this, I'm going to believe that mine is too. But I want you to hear me out here for the next 15 or 20 minutes. Here's what I mean to say that anxiety is truly your superpower. Anxiety, evolutionarily speaking, and the underlying physiological stress response evolved to protect us. That is truly the reason why it evolved. Now, we're talking 2.5 million years ago when stressors came from physical danger, right? The lion, the tiger, the bear, or when someone walking around trying to gather food heard the crack of a twig, they felt anxiety. This was releasing a stress response as this hunter or gatherer thought, oh, that might be a bear coming to attack me. And what does this stress response do? It increases heart rate, shunts blood to muscles so that we can fight the lion or run away. It's why we are here today. So anxiety has actually saved us. Unfortunately, that mechanism hasn't evolved with evolving culture. And while I haven't been attacked by many lions or tigers, I do get anxiety through lots of different mechanisms. Every single time a text comes in social media, that still releases that same stress response, just like a bear, getting me to those high levels of anxiety. So I know you're probably really thinking, Maddie, anxiety cannot be protective or helpful, but it is. Anxiety is a tool. And step one to seeing it as such is to turn the volume down on everything except for this podcast, because I want you to hear this out. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Step one, turn the volume down. Our anxiety levels are too high. This high level of anxiety is not good. And we have to get that down to a controlled level. Anxiety can actually bring us our gifts or superpowers in many parts of our lives, right? Anxiety is that little feeling you get before a first date that lets you know you care. Anxiety is that little bit of fear that you get before your first day on a new job that motivates you to give it your best and for you to make a good first impression. Anxiety is that feeling that you have when you stop going to the same gym and you try out a new one with big kid equipment and it motivates you to work a little bit harder. Anxiety at its core, it's there to protect us. Through the lens of that, while Predator 2.5 years ago, that feeling of anxiety would result in us taking some kind of action. And that same response is happening to us now with respect to our email inbox, the state of our lives, or our endless to-do list. First of all, Is it accurate to say that it's the same response? We've all heard people say your body can't tell if you're dealing with 1,000 emails, stepping on stage, or running from a lion. And secondly, in terms of creating this feeling that causes us to take action, some of the actions that we try to take to change our state or not feel the anxiety aren't productive. It's alcohol, it's sugar, it's food. So, what can we do about that? Well, in regards to the first question, just like 2.5 years ago, there may be a certain stress response to a fox, just like there is a certain stress response to a lion. I think I'd be a little bit afraid of a fox and a lot of bit afraid of a lion, if you ask me. So even back to then, there was a little bit of a graduation, right? A little text may not stress me out as much as 42 emails coming in on Monday morning, right? Or that unexpected Zoom request from your boss on Sunday night. So just like the fox versus the lion, we have different gradations of stress responses. And what we also posed as a question with reference to the action orientation of that original stress response outlines the rationale for the superpower of stress that I love to start with. Did you realize that one of your superpowers that we all have, since most of us suffer with anxiety, is that it comes with a superpower of productivity? Let me explain. This comes with a very common form of anxiety, which I commonly refer to as our what ifs list. And that's what this podcast episode today is going to focus on. What if the plan doesn't work, right? And I walk down the wedding aisle and I'm fat? Or what if I sabotage all of my hard work in this fat loss phase by enjoying myself at my bachelorette party? This what if list is a very, very common form of anxiety. But the other thing to note is that our what if list is revolving around things that we care about. I don't have what ifs lists about how many shows on Netflix I've watched or not watched. I have what ifs lists about my relationships, the success of my clients, and the work and the return on investment that I'm making into my business. These what ifs lists show us what is valuable for us and what we care about in our life. The second thing that we have to understand here is that there's a productivity component too. So I want you to shift your what ifs list into a to-do list. Put the action on it as you just identified as that fundamental response to the anxiety-provoking activity. Let's say that you wake up tomorrow and these fears about your success on your journey is eating away at you. Take action. Message your coach. Talk to your fiance, bride-to-be. Let him know that you need him to help you stay accountable. Chat with your mom or your girlfriends about going to the gym and look at the facts. You have a plan crafted by a coach for you. Take action on each one of these things that comes up on your to-do list, and that will help relieve your anxiety and acknowledges that your anxiety is centered around things that you care about. Anxiety is protective. If you're taking notes, this is the second thing that I want you to write down. It's there to give us a message. The message a million years ago is that you need to run, move your tribe and your things. So instead of looking at it as a problem, although I understand the temptation and why people think that, another way of looking at anxiety is to ask, what is this teaching me? Or what is this showing me about a particular thing in my life that I'm anxious about? Instead of trying to shun it away, turn your what if list into a to-do list. I'm asking you here to simply reframe your anxiety, make it productive. And this leads me to the next superpower of anxiety. Aside from productivity, if you're taking notes, this is another thing to jot down. It is the power of mindset. This comes not just from me, but lots of psychologists who have looked at approaches to anxiety. Can you look at the thing that's making you anxious in a different way? I'm obviously very, very comfortable speaking on social media and putting my life out there for everyone to see, but I was always a shy kid. In fact, I used to battle myself internally when reading texts in class, and my eyes would literally shutter, shake, and well up with water. I always worried in grade school what people might think. And so I began playing a game with myself. Instead of worrying about mispronouncing something or reading the wrong line or needing to pause and gather myself, I assigned myself a job. And it was to speak up in the same way, shape, or form during class, whether it be to read out loud or to volunteer to ask a question. Then I took it on as part of my responsibility as a student in the job, as part of my contract to being in the class. And this really switched the narrative for me from I'm putting myself out there to be ridiculed by everyone to a mindset of I have a job to do this in the classroom. This is my responsibility. And I leverage that same exact thing when I'm in the gym filming myself. So maybe this is something that you need to try when you're thinking about trying a new gym, or heck, even going to the gym for the first time. Make it your job to try out a new routine, or make it your job to film an exercise or two to show your coach. It's really, really powerful. The belief system that you go in with, that's something that can be addressed and modified in so many situations involving anxiety. Reframing your anxiety is so powerful because ultimately, if you don't reframe it and instead think, I don't like feeling this way and I want to stop it, A, you've lost a bit of agency over what's happening, and B, you think there's something wrong with you. No, the anxiety is trying to help you. We have to figure out what the message is behind it. You don't want to necessarily get rid of it, it's a signal. It's showing you something that you need to learn from. You can say this for any uncomfortable emotion. Any uncomfortable emotion is not simply created to annoy you in your life. Sadness, anger, anxiety, they're all warning systems. And my favorite way to think about and to talk about anxiety is with the use of an analogy. Instead of thinking of anxiety as a big, heavy weight weighing you down, what if you think of it as this little kid going, hey, project over here needs some attention. Instead of thinking, oh God, no, why is this weighing so heavily over me? Anxiety is simply a reminder that your project or your endeavor is important to you. It's still an uncomfortable emotion. Don't believe anyone that tells you they're going to get rid of all of your uncomfortable emotions, but you can reframe them into something that can direct you more clearly to that thing that is more important to you. So, going back here to that evolutionary level, anxiety is oftentimes there to encourage you to move, run, hide, get away from danger. Have you ever noticed how anxiety is something that you usually experience when you're sitting on your butt, working, sitting still, sitting on the toilet? So I feel like I can't wrap this topic out without connecting how exercise and anxiety are interrelated here. There is a direct relationship between the two. And science does say that only 10 minutes of walking can have an immediate positive effect on anxiety levels by decreasing them. The reason for that is that by moving for 10 minutes, you're releasing serotonin, dopamine, norepinephrine, and guess what? You get it for free just by walking. And by the way, these are the things that are in common antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications. And if you're the person who's listening saying, Maddie, there's anxiety in all areas of my life. It's not just about stepping on stage. It doesn't just hit me when I go to a new gym. It's crippling, Maddie. It's debilitating. I hear you. And my advice to you is simply start small. Get up tomorrow and in the morning, go for a walk, just 10 minutes. Try doing a short breath work meditation. And if you can't find one, go to YouTube. They have millions. Meditation also has benefits on your mood. Meditation decreases negative mood states like anxiety and depression. It increases positive mood states like optimism and increasing focus and attention, much like exercise. And I find it really interesting how an activity that's so quiet and an activity that requires you to move a lot, like exercise, has very similar effects. And I suspect it's different mechanisms, but similar mechanisms that result in the same behavioral output. So, overall, better prefrontal function. As we all know, the prefrontal cortex seems to be very amenable to both exercise and meditation. So this week or the next time that you're trying out a new health program, or maybe you're feeling overwhelmed with the task of going out for the first time without the crutch of alcohol. Maybe it's the first time that you're attempting to track your food, or maybe you're stepping on the scale and you're feeling anxious. I want you to remember three things. First thing, anxiety is your reminder. It's a reminder that something matters. And it's the trigger for productivity. Number two, turn your what ifs and fears that anxiety provokes into to-dos and begin writing down the things that you could do to quiet that anxiety response. Maybe it's practicing affirmations when you step on the scale. Maybe it's devoting 20 minutes a day for 7 days to playing around in your diet tracking app. Maybe it's bringing your sober friend out with you for support. Or maybe it's researching mocktails so you can order something that is conducive to your goals and you feel prepared. Step number three, remember this. Reframe it. Welcome it. Embrace it. If you're needing to regain control over it, let it sit there and analyze what your anxiety might be trying to teach you or perhaps affirm for you. Maybe it's actually showing you that you're right where you need to be. After all, we know we generally are not going to grow where we're uncomfortable. Excuse me, where we're comfortable. We grow when we are displaced, and we grow when we're somewhat uncomfortable. So I hope that you're feeling inspired, optimistic, and proud of your self-proclaimed or perhaps clinical diagnosis of anxiety. For it is a reminder that you care and something that you can gain control over to leverage for your own productivity. As someone who struggled for so long with anxiety, perceiving it as what would ultimately keep me from following through on my goals and ambitions, I'm here to say that with some simple reframes and shifts, it no longer has to have this sort of leverage over you. For those of you who are returning listeners, thank you for tuning in to this week's episode. If you're new here, welcome. I hope that you enjoyed this week's episode on anxiety and why anxiety can be your superpower. If you're interested in hearing more about tapping into your highest potential, I am the head coach at Team Empowered. We're a holistic functional health coaching team that works with both lifestyle and contest prep athletes, and we'd love to meet with you. The link to apply for coaching is always down below in the description. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast so you never miss a weekly episode of The Psyche Behind the Physique, where we cover all things internal health, mindset, nutrition, hormones, and so much more. That might just get you one step closer to your healthiest self to date.